I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Ben Bullitt.
And I'm Scott Benjamin.
Scott Benjamin. Mm-hmm. You're a pretty sharp tack.
Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you. That's very kind of you. I may have been born yesterday, but I was up all night, as they say. What I was wondering if we could do to kick off this podcast is to ask you a question.
Okay.
And I'm not going to sabotage you. This is not any sort of gotcha.
Feels podcasting. Like it already.
I know. That's just because I've had coffee and it makes me kind of intense. Here's the question. What is the most you've ever paid for an oil change?
An oil change.
Just a simple oil change. Nothing wrong with it. Just the filter and the oil.
I think at the time probably when if I wasn't changing my own oil and I switched over to synthetic was probably the most expensive that I'd ever done. And I think it was around $60. And that was a long time ago. It was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah, the most I ever paid for an oil change was probably around that time too. I was actually getting a car's oil change from my mother, who insisted that I take it to dealership. Now, I'm not going to name the dealership nor the type of car, but I think the synthetic oil played a part there too.
Was it a Saturn?
It was not a Saturn.
Was it a Ford?
It was not a Ford.
Chevrolet?
I'm not going to tell you.
Toyota?
I'm not going to tell you.
Volvo.
It was a Tucker.
Tucker, okay.
No, yeah. But this
Tucker dealership in town. That's right.
But you and I started thinking about this a while ago, and this is a topic we've been cooking on for some time since we did Total Cost of Ownership, since we covered some of the world's highest end cars. The question is, what does it take to own one of these cars? It's not just the price tag.
No. It's more than you think, really. You had mentioned to me. In fact, you had a little story as we came into the studio here about someone that you had read about, right? Someone that was on one of the forums that you were looking up maintenance costs, and you had mentioned that there was someone who, you wouldn't say it's a low dollar. I think it makes decent amount of money.
Right. Yeah. There was a guy who's making a decent amount of money, less than $100,000.
Yeah.
And certainly more than I make. If I may be so candid.
Sure. But the guy's on a Lamborghini forum, right?
Yeah. And he wanted a Lamborghini and he was asking for advice. This was online and, the people who were responding to them were very nice. He said, basically, I make this much a year. I have a certain amount of money saved up. I think it was like $10,000 or something. I want to finance, the purchase of a used Lamborghini. And, he said, what would be the best type for me to try to find and what should I consider and basically help me figure out how to do this. And the responses that he got, which were very polite, when you think about it, all basically told him that this was either impossible or a very bad idea because the total cost of a luxury exotic car is going to be much, much more than a lot of people realize.
Sure, it's going to break you.
It will very easily break you, especially if you're sweating the purchase price. Then, oh, buddy, wait till you hear about the tune-up.
No. This is one of those. This is definitely one of those if you have to ask things, right?
Yeah, and you have a story, too, about a Middle Eastern car enthusiast and a trip to London.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. And this is one that kind of made its rounds, about 2 years ago, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. This is an unusual thing. We'll get into the cost of ownership a little bit later, but this is kind of an excess story, really. And a lot of people have heard this. This is true. This is not a Snopes thing or anything. You know, where they say it's not true. But there was a sheik, a wealthy, is an oil sheik, who had his Lamborghini shipped from Qatar to London and back, and that was strictly for an oil change, Ben. He had it shipped to London for an oil change. So they were talking about 3,250 miles each way, you know, via air cargo. And it looks like it's on a giant jet here in the background. They actually have video of the or a photo, rather, of the car being loaded and unloaded on the plane. But we're talking about like a 6,500-mile round trip just to get an oil change. And one of the crazy things about – this is Lamborghini LP640. And the total cost of this whole round trip, Ben?
Yeah.
$46,644.
And of course, he's going to have to get the oil changed again. Most likely since he last, last occurred.
Yeah. Now, you know, a lot of people were very upset about this and they said, you know, this is just way too much. Why are you doing this? You're flying a jet with a car in it to get an oil change where you could have, if you really wanted to, and it would have been cheaper to have, you could have flown mechanics to your location, had them change the oil and then leave. That would have been cheaper. But they're saying that, you know, this is just one of those excessive spending jaunts, I guess, because you can. And, you know, the guy that that commented on this, his name is David Price, who's in the – he's the Lamborghini Club of the United Kingdom. He says that if an owner wants to service his car that way, it's his choice. I'm not surprised. And he says actually thankfully, you know, that – He's thankful that this age of excess, in some areas at least, continues. He's saying that, you know, this guy's got the money and he wants to spend it this way, then let him do it. Why not?
I'm sure the mechanics were very happy.
I'm sure they felt the same way. And I bet you that the people that were in charge of flying this thing there were happy. And I'm sure that, you know, everybody involved with this trip in some way, that was some way prospering from this, was happy about the trip. Yeah.
And we can't tell you in the space of one podcast the true cost of ownership of exotic cars in general, because that cost is going to have a wide range of variance. I mean, if you have an Aston Martin, a Lamborghini, or a Porsche, you're going to be paying a different amount.
But I've got some average numbers that we can go through a little bit later for each of those cars that you mentioned. We've got a list here of some cars and kind of what you would expect to pay for certain things like oil changes and like clutch. Fluid changes and maybe a clutch and spark plugs and, you know, the typical things that would wear on a vehicle during the time that you would own it.
So we can talk to you about the consumables and we can talk to you about some averages.
Yeah. Now, do you want to hear a little bit more about this cost of ownership before we move on?
Yes.
Because there's an interesting article out there from I don't know where this is from exactly, but it was posted in July of this year. So it's a relatively new article. The author's name is Daniel Buckspan. And Daniel took some numbers from Edmunds.com, which was, you know, an automotive information site. They're the ones who kind of came up with this true cost to own idea that we've talked about in the past, right?
Yes.
The TCO.
Yeah.
And what TCO encompasses is 5 years of ownership of any vehicle. And that's everything that you would pay with them, pay along with them. And in this case, we're going to look at, you know, the MSRP, the taxes and fees. There's depreciation involved. There's also finance interest, which in some cases applies, in some cases does not. Then there's also insurance costs, fuel costs, maintenance costs, and repairs. So maintenance and repairs are separate. Okay.
And that's an important distinction to make, and an important inclusion for those two factors, because this factors in the cost of ownership and operation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
If you're a car collector and you just own a vehicle to collect it, then you're still going to have maintenance, but it's going to be much less.
Yeah. So the numbers that we read here, and I've got a total, this list that he compiled is of 2011 model year vehicles.
Oh, fresh from the oven.
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
It.
With the highest TCO. So these are the top 10 highest priced vehicles to own when you consider total cost of ownership. And that's, again, 5 years. You got to remember 5 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the cost over that time. And the list has some of the usual suspects you would expect. There's an Audi, a couple of Porsches. There's four Mercedes on the list.
Whoa.
One Jaguar, one Land Rover, and one BMW kind of scattered in there. And I promise that I'm not going to read every single number for every single car, but there's a couple that I highlighted here because, oh boy, some of them are excessive.
Blow my mind, man.
All right. So number 10, and here's where we'll start. Now consider this. We're going to go from 10 to 1. Consider that number 10, which is one of the, you know, the lower cost vehicles
the
on
least,
this list.
Probably
or
least
the
low,
the least, is a Porsche Cayenne Turbo.
Okay.
So this is the SUV version of Porsche.
Yeah.
The MSRP on the car is $106,000, Ben. By the time you figure in all the taxes and fees and depreciation, finance, et cetera, the total TCO is $128,262.
Whoa.
So over 5 years, you're actually paying $128,262. The depreciation on that, $71,927, Ben. In five years, you lose almost $72,000 in value on that car.
Wow.
So look for the, in 2016, be looking for a 2011 Porsche Cayenne Turbo and you'll have a good deal in your hands.
Comparatively good
comparatively,
deal.
That's right, yeah. Because you got other things going on at that point.
That depreciation
right?
is huge, though.
71,000, but Ben, I tell you, they get much more dramatic.
Oh, yeah, this
so
is the that, bottom.
That's number 10.
Whoa, okay.
All right, so I'll quickly go through a couple of these.
Oh,
right?
take
so
your time. This
number
is
nine,
crazy.
There's the Jaguar XJ Supersport, which is the newest Jaguar. You know, they're the great big flagship vehicle that they have. MSRP is $110,000 on it. Total cost of ownership is $132,000. So that's pretty big. Again, depreciation on that one, $72,000. So you're losing $72,000 over 5 years.
That's just it seems like such a high amount.
Incredible, isn't it? All right. Yeah. Now, number eight, one of the first Mercedes here. It's Mercedes-Benz CLS 63 AMG. Okay. So it's an AMG version of the Mercedes. MSRP is $99,000. But get this, the TCO is $132,000. On a $99,000
wow.
car. Again, depreciation is there's $66,000 in depreciation on that car.
Dang.
Land Rover, the Range Rover supercharged version, $94,000. This is one of the lower cost vehicles on the list, one of them. $94,000 is the MSRP. TCO is almost $133,000.
Is that also because of?
Depreciation is $66,000, but get this, the fuel cost on this car, almost $20,000 over 5 years. So you know how on stickers, window stickers now, you'll see an annual fuel cost price, right? And that's based on the number of miles that's driven average. And I think I want to say it's 12,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
Could be wrong. But because this is a supercharged version, of course, it's got a V8 engine. The fuel costs are really, really high on this thing, $19,500.
And to add a little bit of spice to this financial mess we're cooking up here, we also can reasonably assume that the price of gas itself will increase over the 5 years.
It's likely to.
Yeah, which adds a couple other percentage points to this price.
Sure, that price is going to go up. That's based on the prices right now. I don't have a number for what the fuel is calculated on. But number six, another Mercedes, the G-Class. This is the G55 AMG.
Okay.
$124,450 is the MSRP. The TCO is $146,733. So it's getting up there, right? Depreciation, again, $75,000 in depreciation. The fuel cost, Ben?
Yes.
$22,771. So can you imagine in the next 5 years spending $22,000 on fuel? And that's going the average, the national average.
Not if I still lived somewhere.
For me, it would be much higher because I know I drive a lot more than the national average, and a lot of people do.
Yeah. Tricky thing about averages.
It is tricky. Okay, here's the BMW 7 Series, the 760 Li, high price on this one. MSRP is 137. The TCO, we're getting up to 155 on the TCO, almost 156 for that BMW 7 Series. And you see a lot of these around town.
Yeah,
I see a ton of these on the road.
You have to wonder if they know.
Depreciation, Ben?
Yeah.
$90,000 depreciation.
90
over that,
grand?
Over that 5 years, yeah.
Oh, man.
$90,000.
And what number was that?
That was number five.
We're only halfway through?
We're only halfway through.
Oh, man. These
number four, yeah. This is the Porsche Turbo, the 911S.
Oh, nice car.
So this is in the Turbo S. The MSRP is 172.1, and here's the difference in this one, okay?
Okay.
And I'll read from this I'll quote from this article.
Right.
It says, you know, it mentions the price and the cost of ownership and, you know, how much it you'll pay in interest and finance charges, et cetera. But it says the TCO total is $169,634, making it the only car on this list that costs more to buy than to own.
We need like a record skip sound
effect.
Yeah,
I don't know what this is all about. But anyways, depreciation is $95,000 on this one. So also high. I'll have to that's a strange thing. I'll have to look into that one. Number three, this one you could almost expect, the Audi R8 5.2 Quattro Spider.
Oh,
so
man.
So we love this car, right?
Yeah, I love this car, but I knew it was going to be on this
MSRP list. MSRP is 162.7. The TCO, Ben, yeah. 209,350. Depreciation on it is $123,423.
What?
And the fuel costs, again, $18,215. So it's very, very high depreciation, $123,000.
$123,000.
Yeah, quite a hit to take on that one, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm kind of in shock.
Number two. In fact, the last two are going to be Mercedes cars, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
All right. The number two car is the CL class, is again the CL65 AMG.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had the 55 earlier. The MSRP is $209,300. So this is getting up there in price, along with the Audi. That was expensive as well. TCO total, Ben?
Yes.
$251,505 is what you're looking at for 5 years. Depreciation on this one, $144,270 is what you're losing on that. And insurance costs are what's one of the major reasons for this.
Yeah.
$34,000 in insurance is what you can expect to pay, just national average.
Man.
Isn't that amazing? Fuel costs, again, approaching $20,000.
But as we said earlier, this really is a situation where if you have to ask,
yep, pay to
you
play.
Probably can't afford it.
You
yes,
pay to play. And number one.
Uh huh.
So we got number one here, the Mercedes-Benz S-Class. This is the S65 AMG. So S65 this time.
Okay.
MSRP is $209,000, Ben. TCO.
Mm-hmm.
$252,946. So you're talking about $253,000 to own this car for 3 years. Figure that out into what that costs you per month, and I think you'll be astounded.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done the math here, but the number's got to be just ridiculous. Far more than my mortgage, I'll tell you that. And, you know, another thing that plays into this one, depreciation and insurance costs, just like the one previous. Depreciation on this one, the highest that we've got, $145,968 is depreciation on the S65 AMG.
Almost $146,000 just in depreciation.
In 5 years. That's right. And again, insurance, $34,160. So it's expensive. $34,000 is what you're looking at for the, you know, the top couple vehicles here on the list for insurance.
Jeez.
Ridiculous.
I've got some pretty crazy stuff about the Bugatti Veyron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd like to hear that.
The maintenance cost of the Bugatti Veyron. Now, of course, our listeners know that we're big Veyron fans. Mm-hmm. It is the world's fastest street legal car.
Yep.
This guy can top out 267 miles per hour. On the off chance that you find a place in the world where you can do that without getting arrested.
VW gives you access to that track.
Right. It's also one of the world's most expensive cars, coming in at just under $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
$2 million, I think you could probably squeeze in some,
Over if it's convertible.
Yeah, over if it's a convertible, right. You might get some options with $2 million. Now, let's say for some reason you're able to buy one of these.
Mm-hmm.
You need to consider very closely some of the hidden costs that will go into the total costs of, ownership here. For instance, routine maintenance for a lot of other luxury cars, will average, in the several thousand dollars, still nothing to sneeze at.
Mm-hmm.
Routine maintenance annually for a Bugatti, just the maintenance, $20,000.
Did you say annually?
Annually.
Every year you're paying $20,000 for routine maintenance.
Check it out, man. The tires alone. All right. So Bugatti recommends you change your tires after 4,000 miles. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And when you reach the 10,000 mile mark, both the wheels and the tires need replacement.
The wheels too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
at 10,000 mile mark. So the tires will be like $30,000.
Okay. Oh, wait.
This is when you need this. So if you don't drive 10,000 miles in that year, you don't, this is, that routine maintenance is an average.
Ben, this is, you're just talking about the rubber part of the wheel.
Yes.
The tire.
The wheel plus the tire when you hit 10,000 miles.
So wait, $30,000 for the rubber part that goes around the wheel.
Well, you see, they're specially designed. They're Michelin Pilot Sport tires.
Okay.
They're not something you can just buy at Goodyear, man.
Well, I know you're not going to buy them off the shelf.
Both wheels and tires together will run you about 50 grand.
Oh.
I know. So.
Oh, no.
So you might not be able to drive this as much as you want. There are also some things that people recommend. Like people do recommend that you have a tractor trailer, to drive it around.
Oh,
yeah, and in one of the earlier podcasts we recorded, Scott, you remember, it was before we went on the air, and I said, you know, I've got a present for you, and you asked if I had a trailer. That's why I made the Bugatti joke.
Oh, thank you.
And should you live in a state that uses a property tax, a car property tax, like Virginia and California, then you can expect to pay maybe more than 50 grand just for owning a Bugatti.
A car property tax. That's unusual. I just haven't heard of this before.
Yeah, it seems very
strange. You said California, and who else has this?
California and Virginia.
Oh, man.
I have listed here.
You know what? I'm going to look into this because
this was new to me. I haven't heard this before. I want to dig deeper and see if that's legit.
I've never heard of this.
But just so people know, like, if you know more about this car property tax idea, then write into us and tell us, because I need to dig deeper on this one to get some more info. But, let's see,
$50,000 for just for having it. A year. This is every year.
This is the calculation is what I'm reading.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, this is one of those things where I hope we're wrong. So imagine what you could do with this amount of money each year. I mean, $21,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You could just buy and throw away a car every year.
Yeah, but see, that's not what it's all about, Ben.
No, that's not what it's all about, but I'm just saying that this maintenance is expensive.
You can't look at it that way. You can't, because there's a
You're
reason
right.
they're buying that type of car.
You're right. Yeah, people know what they're getting into, and of course, it should be no surprise that the world's fastest street legal car is by no means the world's most efficient car.
I could imagine.
So, I mean, if you're pushing this and you're redlining it all the way out, seriously, in less than 15 minutes, you'll probably empty the gas tank.
Wow.
So this thing uses a lot of gas. I don't have a number for
You know what? The video had something about this. The, remember the top speed video that we watched? Where it actually achieves top speed on that long straight. I think it was something like, you remember that they were worried about the tire shredding because at a certain speed at a certain time, your tires begin to shred. But they said, but that's not really a worry because the gas tank will be empty by that point. So we won't even have that chance.
No, yeah. And we're, you know, Scott, you and I are putting forth, some very extreme examples. And the Bugatti this Bugatti in particular is one of the most extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, as you said, you pay to play, and people who are buying these vehicles already know what they're getting into.
Yeah, and this is a good lead into some of these other cars that I've got on the list here.
Yeah.
And I'll make this quick because I know we run a little bit long on this one. But honestly, you know, some people look at like a Ferrari, a Porsche, a Lamborghini, Aston Martin, and they see kind of like, well, that's an exotic car. It's all kind of in the same ballpark, right? It's all about the same. You know, that I can expect about the same amount of maintenance on every one of those, right?
That's a popular assumption.
Not the case. And we will go backwards
okay.
On this. And, you know, this is, Well, it's tough to say it this way, but there's kind of a pecking order as far as maintenance costs on these things, you know, routine maintenance and just general upkeep of the vehicle. Because when you buy an exotic, you've got to expect some high dollar cost to go along with that if you're taking it to have it serviced, if you're not going to be doing the work yourself, which a lot of the owners are not. Not everyone, of course, that's not all inclusive, but, you know, when you look at taking it in for just a simple thing like spark plugs or an oil change or, you know, a clutch, you know, switch out, what are you going to pay for something like that? And, there is a kind of a pecking order in the four that I mentioned, the Ferrari, Porsche, Lamborghini, Aston Martin.
Which one are you going to start with?
I'm going to start with the lowest one. And the lowest one on this list of four, the short list of what's considered to be exotics, is the Porsche.
Can we do like a Price is Right thing? I promise I won't cheat.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. We're talking about the 911 Turbo. Okay. And this is as far as exotics are concerned.
All right.
We're talking about a car that is what they call relatively cheap to maintain.
Okay.
End quote.
End quote.
Okay. Now, relatively cheap to maintain. What do you think an oil change costs on a Porsche 911 Turbo?
I'm going to go with.
This is average, by the way.
Okay. If I'm playing Price is Right rules, and I'm going to go with $301.
Oh, you know what? $300. So you're
I lost?
You lost, yeah.
Oh,
$300 for an oil change.
I stink at this.
Now, consider, though, let's say that you or I take our car into the oil change place, you know, the Valvoline down the road.
Yeah.
We want to get, you know, the mid-level synthetic blend oil or whatever, 5 quarts of it or whatever it takes to fill our little engines. And it's going to cost us maybe – and this is pretty expensive still – $50.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still a high cost because you're getting in the synthetic oil, et cetera. But, $50, and I consider that a lot of money for an oil change because you can buy the stuff to do your own oil change for $20.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking $300 every time you take it in for an oil change. And this is a 911. If you want to get the spark plugs replaced.
Yeah.
$900.
$900? What does that come with?
I don't want to speculate what that may or may not, or what it should come with. maybe the better way to say
we're going to get in trouble.
That's right.
What's next?
That sounds like a joke, doesn't it? Like, I'll tell you what that should come with. And that's, no, never mind. Okay. So if you want to get a clutch, let's say you get time to get your clutch replaced.
Okay.
$2,000, which I don't know. Is that really that bad? $2,000. That doesn't sound like all that
in
much money.
In comparison to what I was expecting, it's not. I thought you were going to be like $4,000.
No, I had my clutch redone, and I think you get like your flywheel resurfaced and everything. And it's still – for me, it was like $1,200 or something. I paid it this summer.
So $2,000 is not that bad.
Talking about like a seven-year-old Honda Civic. That, I don't know. It just doesn't seem that bad to me for $2,000. But anyways, that's the point is that on the scale of things here, this is at the low end. Now, the next one is Aston Martin.
Okay.
And here's where we're getting into – actually, this one's relatively cheap as well.
Can I guess the oil change?
Yeah, sure.
Is it $500?
Nope. It's less than the Porsche.
What?
It's less than the Porsche. Now, in progressive – I guess the way we're looking at this in progression, the numbers here, there's a couple of numbers that are shocking. But the oil change doesn't happen to be one of those, okay? We're talking about the Aston Martin, which was the Vantage model. Now, the Vantage model used to be part of Ford. Remember this? So that made things a lot more affordable for Aston Martin owners for a while. Now it's not. It's been sold off to some investors, so it's not part of Ford anymore. But the Vantage model is kind of like and I hate to say it, but like the low end of Aston Martin.
Say entry level.
Entry level. Yeah, that's right. That's a safer way to put that.
So $200
oil change. $200 oil change. Belts. You know, just to get the belts replaced, $200. That's not bad. The clutch is right around $2,500. But now let's say you step up to the DB9 version of the Aston Martin. Or the Vanquish model. And you have to get a, and I'm just going to throw this out here. You have to get a new transmission because something's gone wrong in the transmission. This happens.
This happens.
It does happen, especially in a car that you're going to be pushing to the limit, right? A new transmission for a DB9 or Vanquish.
Yeah.
You're looking at upwards of $80,000 for a transmission.
I
know. Yeah, your eyes just got huge because, you know, let's say that you've got a Ford.
Yeah.
You've got a Ford and you're going to have the transmission replaced. Something happened with it. It's your own fault. You know, it's wrong. The company's not paying for it. You're paying for it.
It's not under warranty.
Not under warranty. Yeah, you're going to pay, and I'm going to ballpark this. You're going to pay $5,000, maybe less.
Yeah.
Maybe less. I don't know. You can maybe find a remanufactured one. But not $80,000. That's four times the price of what you may have paid for the car, three times the price. So that gets into, you know, that gives you an idea of what some of these major components. Like, unless you're talking about the engine, you can just forget about pricing that even. That's absurd. Yeah. You might as well get a new car at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The next on the list, would you think it would be Ferrari or Lamborghini?
I would go with Lamborghini.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Lamborghini is going to be slightly on the lower end, I guess, for repairs versus Ferrari.
And the price for the repairs and the price for maintenance on the Lamborghinis can be kind of divided too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's divided between the two different models that they have. They have I'm going to say this again. I always screw this up.
Gallardo.
Yeah, something like that. I always say Gallardo. And the Murcielago. And for the Murcielago, an oil change, Ben, you know what it is?
Yeah.
$2,000 for an oil change.
Wow.
On a Murcielago. Spark plugs, Ben,
yep.
$4,000 for the spark plugs on this thing. Can you believe that?
At this point, I have already bought my own beater car.
Yeah.
I've already got my new entry to – I've got a fleet of cars for 24 hours of limits.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? So now – okay. Now if you want a new clutch in that same car, $12,000. And we're not talking a new transmission. You're talking about a clutch, a part that wears out.
Yeah.
This is the part that – this is an expendable is what we call it, right?
Yeah.
I don't have prices for brakes or anything like that, but the clutch is $12,000 in that car. Can you imagine the shock that you would receive if you had no idea what maintenance costs on this were and you took it in for an oil change and you came back after your lunch hour to pick it up, which you probably wouldn't do anyways. You'd leave it overnight maybe.
Right.
You come back and they'd say, okay, that's $2,250 because we also put an air freshener in there for you.
What about the transmission? We've got a number on that.
That's right. Transmission, you're looking at about $50,000. For a transmission and something like that. Now, you know, if you go down to – if you take a step down, I'll put it, to the Gallardo.
Right.
What have you got for the prices on that?
On the Gallardo – actually, I've got the Murcielago.
Oh, okay. So the oil change
– yeah.
It's a lot more affordable, let's say. The oil change is only going to run you $400 and the plugs will be half of the price of the Murcielago at $2,000 and the clutch is only $3,500, which seems like quite a bargain.
Yeah, and it's funny because our next one's Ferrari, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, owning a Ferrari is a famously expensive pursuit.
Yes, it is.
And the I've got some stats for the F430, which sound okay for in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And this, keep in mind, this is only because we've gone past several really expensive things. So if you get an oil change on that model, it's going to run you $500.
That's expensive.
And if you get an F360, that's going to be, $800.
Okay.
And if you, do you know the rest of it?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got the F355, which is it's a popular model. I see a lot of those around.
A lot, especially in our area of the city.
Yeah, we do.
And beautiful car.
Do you have any idea? And a little change costs $1,100 on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
$1,100. Now that's, again, average. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some a little bit more, some a little bit less. Spark plugs, Ben?
Yeah.
I can't believe these numbers. Spark plugs for these cars. $3,000 average for spark plugs in these Ferraris. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
I don't know why. It's still shocking to me. Even after all the research we've done, all the reading we've done about these.
Yeah.
The clutch, belts, which are done, again, belts done every 15,000 miles. So that's frequent. That's a frequent belt change, really.
Yeah.
But we're talking about $4,000 for belts in the car every 15,000 miles. Now, some people may counter that you don't drive a Ferrari that often. It's not your daily driver typically.
True.
So, you know, 15,000 miles may take an awful long time to get to it. But then you've got age concerns too, and you may do it every – you know, it's one of those things where they say 15,000 miles.
Or every 3 years or something.
Yeah, exactly. And the 3 years may come up sooner than that, sooner than the mileage. But when you talk about a clutch, and this is probably the last number I've got here for us, really, but the clutch is between $2,500 and $6,500 on that thing.
Which is a wide level of variance.
That's huge. But you get the idea really quickly when you start digging into the price to own an exotic or even what they call an exotic luxury car, that it's not just that sticker price that you're looking at. We've talked about TCO in previous episodes. But when we started to really dig into what some of these costs are and the maintenance costs that go along with them, the stuff that you can expect to pay annually or even in some cases every 3,000 or 4,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
The costs are something like, I mean, you would hope that the dollar amounts were actually pesos. It's ridiculous.
Or yen or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at, you know, what is a typical mortgage payment for a monthly car payment or more, actually not even that, maintenance costs.
Yeah.
It's exceedingly expensive to own an exotic car.
Now I'm going to defend, the costs here, mm-hmm. by explaining just a little bit, about how these prices come about.
Mm-hmm.
And of course people know that this is a textbook case of supply and demand. The demand for these cars is very high, and the demand for maintenance is likewise high. The supply is very low, and not just in the number of cars produced. The supply of people qualified to work on these vehicles is very low.
Mm-hmm.
The supply of parts manufactured for these vehicles is very low, especially when you get into the older models. Like if you're looking for an older model Lamborghini or Ferrari component, it can be more difficult than we might imagine, because before we started looking at some of these things in more detail, I had this sort of rose-tinted picture in my head of, you know, me as a billionaire just calling and saying, oh, well, I don't care about the cost. Find me those late model windshield wipers.
Sure. Yeah. I need an oil pan for my Duesenberg.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Go ahead and buy three.
Yeah.
But you know, there may not be three available at whatever price you have. So there definitely is a.
Yeah. You may get into a bidding war.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Exactly.
You may
That's
say,
what I was
like,
about to
we've,
say.
We've got two available, and if you want both of them, you can have them. But, the bidding starts at $10,000 and I've got another offer already.
And he wants both of them too.
Yeah.
Or she. Now this is part and parcel of it. Of course, we're making this podcast to give some interesting, maybe even fascinating information. I think that it would be a little bit foolish for us to assume that we are somehow warning someone who was already going to buy a Veyron, but we might be warning someone who is going to buy a Lamborghini.
Maybe, or somebody who has interest in, you know, purchasing that Ferrari, but, you know, it's going to max you out just to buy the thing, you know, to try to finance it.
Yeah.
You know, you got money that you've been saving up for down payment. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't mean to discourage anybody, but holy cow, when you look at the price of an oil, you say you take it in for an oil change and it's $1,100.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do then after you've already, you know, you've got yourself strapped completely to the point where you're bringing bologna sandwiches to work for lunch and, you know, you're drinking nothing but water. Because you want to drive that Ferrari.
Yeah.
You know, some people do that kind of thing. They completely max themselves out on the car and forget about all the other, and I'll call it incidentals, but it's really routine maintenance.
Yeah.
You forget about the cost of ownership and the price that you're going to pay along with that.
Mm-hmm. And oh brother, what if there's a, God forbid, a fender bender and you've got some body work?
Oh boy, that could be really, really bad. That could sink somebody financially.
Yeah. And that could, See, that's a good point that we need to make about these things. Also, if I'm a big believer in the idea that if you have this sort of money, these things are sold, they're legal, there's nothing wrong with them. People should spend it as they wish. And I think that if people are prepared for this kind of investment, it is an investment, not just in terms of money, but also in terms of time, then you should absolutely go and enjoy these. We're talking about some of the most awesome cars on the planet.
Oh yeah, have at it. I say, you know, if you've got it, then definitely do it. You know, the rest of us enjoy seeing them on the road.
Yeah, it actually does brighten my day a little bit.
Yeah,
working
really
here downtown when I'm walking along and I see an awesome car.
Oh, sure, you hear a V12 Ferrari drive by. It's like, oh man, does that
you
sound good?
Down the street and around the corner.
That sounds good.
You can
good.
Tell these.
Yeah.
Okay, so Scott, I guess you and I are about to head out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're still a few podcasts away from our own Ferraris, but, we hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast, and, we hope that we gave you some, surprising information or some things that maybe you haven't considered. Oh, one last thing.
Sure.
Some insurance companies, won't even consider insuring some of these vehicles.
Oh, no kidding. You have to get special insurance for them, huh?
Well, yeah, depending on your driving history, depending on your credit and the whether or not you already have business with an insurance company.
I see.
Question.
And that's where the $35,000 in insurance comes in over 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm. And it can be tricky, you know, because, of course, you have to have insurance to drive. But we don't want this to be a downer podcast.
No, don't discourage. Like yeah. we said, don't be discouraged. If this is for you, then do it.
Send us pictures of you in that Lamborghini. Please I'd love do. To see them. And feel free to send those pictures to us and those stories on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We've got some pretty interesting information about all things automotive on our website. And if you have a great story for us about a high-end luxury exotic car, especially maybe an unplanned price that popped into your life when you weren't expecting it, tell us your story or send us an idea for an upcoming episode, and you can talk to us at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join How Stuff Works staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.